Lumphosa Meda offers a few words for us to consider. This is the end of a week of meetings. More than 100 members of the monastic community gathered, and many are now scattering, going back to their countries. There are representatives from 25 different nations gathered together for this week, and so this is a very harmonious and beautiful occasion. So Lumpo will offer a few reflections now, and after that will be the time for the Anumotana.
The Buddha was always pointing to the present moment, the way things are. And so this event, the International Elders Meeting here at Amaravati, we all came together from many different places, from as far as New Zealand, Canada, Thailand, and so forth, gathering here, and then this time we're separating. So this is a reflection on what comes together must separate. And these are, you know, reflections on the way things are, on impermanence. And I've been doing this for so many years because you realize one's life is really a series of meetings and partings, coming together, separating, beginnings and endings, and this is just the natural flow of change, of sankharas, of samsaravatta, of the conditioned realm. And one thing that being a Buddhist monk helped me to put into perspective is this natural state that we find ourselves in, this sense realm and these human forms. And we have a whole program of conditioned views and opinions we've acquired from our parents, from our ethnic background, religious background, cultural, social conditioning. And we tend to create a world that we believe in out of these perceptions. But all these perceptions, whatever they might be, true or false, right or wrong, they come and go, they change. And so the way out of suffering, as the Buddha pointed out, is to observe change, not to take such an interest and become so caught up into the quality, quantity, or importance, urgency, or horror, or whatever the perceptions, the conditions might be in the present. And this takes a determination, because the sensory world is, for almost all human beings, the real world. And I remember when we first went to stay at Chithurst, you know, I remember some people coming from Midhurst, English people, and saying, you're escaping from the real world, you're living in, you're not facing reality, you're living in an illusory world, a Buddhist monastery. And they assuming that their world was the real one. But in terms of Lungpa Cha's teaching, he was always saying the world begins and ends here, and then he'd point to his heart. He'd say, the end of the world is here, and then he'd take his hand and tap his heart chakra. And that's, you know, contemplate that. That's not a doctrine to grasp, but a reflective moment of what does he mean by the world? What do you mean by the world when you think you're talking about using the English word world, and we all think we agree, and that the world is, you know, what the news, the governments, the economies, and so forth of these different countries, different groups, different races, nationalities, is the real world. But in terms of Dhamma, these are conditions impermanent, changing, and they're nothing real about them. They are what they are. You know, they arise and cease. And in Vipassana meditation, insight, meditation is always this willingness to observe change. And we can do it externally, observing the changing of the day to night, the changing of the seasons, etc., the sounds we hear or things that we pick up through the senses. But the really important effort is looking at the mind itself, because this is what we interpret our experience through these delusions we've acquired. We acquire a whole series of conditions that we grasp and interpret our experience of life through these distortions. And the whole aim of the Buddha is to stop doing that, to see it in a direct way, to know the arising and ceasing of the world, to see the beginning and ending of a thought or an emotion or a feeling that we have in our mind, or the continuous, unrelenting, inexorable change of that we experience this throughout our lives from birth to death. And so this is like a witness of that change is the refuge in Buddha. You just took the three refuges. Bhutang Saranangacchami is you can say it and it can be just a chant, Pali chant, but it also means taking refuge in awareness, mindfulness here and now. That's the real refuge. Just the words themselves are helpful reminders of that refuge, but the words cannot be a refuge in themselves unless you make those words, what are they pointing at when you chant Bhutang Saranangacchami? Is it just perfunctory? You're just following what I'm saying? Or are you really being mindful? Bhutto tammo sangho, in the present. So when I give those three refuges, I always attempt to not just make it a perfunctory ceremony that Theravadan monks do, but it's a real sense of openness, letting go of the conditions, the fears, desires, problems of the world in our mind, and recognizing the nature of consciousness as empty and pure, abiding in emptiness, and then offering Bhutang Saranangacchami is a way of developing and encouraging and reinforcing. And this is a way that we, in this traditional form, the tradition is another form, yes, but it's a form to use, not a form to just grasp. It's not a form just to be worshipped and admired or to be criticized, but it's a form to be used for reminding ourselves, for remembering. Bhutang Saranangacchami is not just Pali chanting, prapani custom that we have and go through that, but it's more than that. It's much more profound, much more useful, much more practical than just a ceremony. So this coming together, we had this meeting where all these monks, nuns gathered together, and we have this feeling of meeting, seeing old friends, meeting our friends, meeting other people here at Amaravati. Now is a time where it's all separating. Separating is like this. And reflect in just to notice the mental state, the kind of emotional experience of this present, this idea of separating is like this. Meeting, coming together is like this. Separating is like this. And this is called a reflection on the way it is. And one can use this in whatever we do in our lives, because throughout the day and night you're meeting somebody, separating, you're beginning something, ending something. It's a process that goes on in our daily lives. Quite regularly we just take for granted. But it's also a way of reflecting, of awakening, of remembering Bhutto, or the Buddha, or Bhutang Saranangacchami as a way of being aware of the way it is. And then the simplicity of the teaching, all sape sankharani cha, all conditions are impermanent. After all these years of practicing meditation, one learns sape sankharani cha, all conditions are impermanent right from the beginning. And so it's not hard to figure that one out. But at the end, after nearly 50 years, that's what's the way it is. Sape sankharani cha. And so in our life, it's, monastic life or lay life or whatever, if you cultivate this awareness and reflecting, you can understand the words, the meaning, and that, but it takes a determination to apply that to the reality of this moment, to open up to the real. So one time, years ago, somebody asked me, can you define the Buddhist teaching in one sentence? And so I said, I can do it with one word. And they said, well, what's that? And I said, wake up. So, and waking up isn't, how do I wake up? You're going to ask me, Ajahn Sumedho, how can I wake up? You just do it. I can't tell you how to do it, but it's something we can just do in the present. So I offer this for your reflection.